Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. I'm going to share with you this evening my favorite song, because it has a lot of meaning in it for me. And it's called He Touched Me. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout if all eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Praise the Lord our God, because that's exactly what He did for me. He touched me and made me whole. All right. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open Your Word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the understanding, Father, that we need of this Your Word and guidance for our lives, and to help us to grow in faith, patience, and to stand steadfast upon Your Word. Now, Father, be with me throughout the remainder of the service this evening, and let the Holy Spirit now come forth to bring us the message You'd have us to hear this evening. All right. I'm going to be talking to you this evening from a chapter we had a while back. But you know, it don't matter how many times we hear it, a lot of it we forget. And then there's a lot of new things that comes out of it. So I'm going to be talking to you this evening from the 8th chapter of Romans. So beginning here now with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His only Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelt in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which in Christ Jesus our Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward and bring to each of us that message that God would have each to receive, to help us to grow stronger, stand straighter, and stand upon the pathway of righteousness. Once again, Father, we give you praise, honor, and thank you in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. As we back up here now, you know, with Paul, here as he starts this eighth chapter, he's starting it pretty strong because he's talking about two ways that you and I have a choice of walking. So I ask you, which way are you walking today? And are you really sure of how you stand in the kingdom of Almighty God? You know, you can be, and we are to be, sure and knowing how we stand with the Lord our God. He starts out there and he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's letting you and I know that if we walk the ways of this world out here, and we have more interested in the things going on here in the world than we have in the things that pertain to Almighty God, we're in trouble. You see, our life, when we really and truly, honestly bring Christ into our lives, and most especially those that are walking with the Spirit, we cannot go backwards. And we cannot accept things of this world, nor let anything come between us and the things of Almighty God. I'm not talking about just about letting them come between us and Jesus. I'm talking about things that come between us and the things of God, that God is wanting you and I to accomplish, things he is asking of us to do, and how we have our priorities in this life. That are the things that we need to be watching and watching very closely. And with each passing day, we need to grow stronger in the ways of the world than what we have been. Think about that. You know, we have too many today that are letting others of this life talk them into leaving God's way and his church. They'll be talking to someone that disagrees with them. Satan gets mixed into that conversation, and the next thing you know, that one that was supposed to be A child of God has decided within their mind, I don't want nothing to do with the church anymore. I don't want nothing to do with people anymore. I'm just going to stay to myself, stay in my home, and I'll just stay there and pray. You do that. But if you do, and you do it actually honestly and in sincerity, you'll find out just how wrong you are. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the scripture says, as the manner of some is. Because we need each other. We all need other children of Almighty God in our lives. I need them, and you need them. We need their prayers. We need their fellowship walking with us. That is what helps us to build our godly character, our godly power, and help to keep us straight upon that pathway of righteousness. You see, when we don't have that, we most often grow weak and weaker by each and every day, until eventually Satan has had his way and he has drug us away from the ways of Almighty God. We're told this in so many ways. But here Paul starts out that first verse telling you and I, we can't walk that way, but we are to walk after the Spirit. He goes on into it and he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You've been made free of those things. Why do you want to walk backwards and become involved again in the things of this world out here that really has no meaning for a child of God? The only thing we need to be concerned with as far as this world out here is a place where we can stay, food for the body, that the body needs to keep going, and some clothing to keep it covered. And our priorities should be on the things of Almighty God, and most of that upon His Word. Because unless we take this word and we bring this word into our life and we begin to live it and bring it forth so others see it in us, we're not going to make it very far. Well, yeah, but I got this coming against me and that coming against me. There's nothing out here in this world that can come against you that is too big for God to handle. Now, He may not handle it your way, and most likely won't. But He'll take care of it in a way that is the best for you. He knows you. He knows all about you. He knew when you was going to accept Christ long before you did. He knew that. It's not something new to him. You see, he knows all things. He knows exactly how to help you. Paul goes on to tell us. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see, the law, those that were given the law to live by, they were not baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. They was on their own mainly, but they had been given rules to live by, which they were not doing. Because this flesh is weak and is tempted. Because we are all born with that old man's sin, that nature of sin within us. And we'll walk with that until we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's then that flesh is put to death, spirit-wise. But the spirit then is made whole. And the spirit is to continue to grow stronger and stronger and stronger each and every day that we walk upon this earth. We are to be reaching out to others. But most don't. Most don't go talking about God to others. They keep it pent up in themselves unless somebody just walks up and asks them a question. And then they may be able to answer it, and they may not. Because when we will not share with others, we're not really into the Word of God like we should be. Because if we was, we would know that we are saved for a purpose. And that purpose is to do the work of Almighty God and to help those which are lost find the Lord Jesus Christ and help to get them out of this world and get them set on things above. Now, yet here in 3, it says, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God sent his Son, born flesh, just like you and I, born the same way, born of woman, came forth from the womb, and it came forth into this world like you and I. He wasn't born with the Holy Spirit in him. The Holy Spirit did not come upon the Lord Jesus Christ until he was baptized by John. Scripture tells us that. It's not a guesswork or nothing. The scripture tells us exactly that. But yet he lived his life without sin in it, showing you and I that we could do it if we would listen to God. You see, he was listening to his Father, and he was doing what his Father was telling him to do. And he was doing it in the flesh. showing us we can do it. We just choose not to. He goes on now down here in Florida, and he says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, when you and I are filled with the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit walks in us, then we are not out here to please the flesh. We bring, by the Spirit, the flesh under control. That's the only thing that can control that flesh, is the Spirit. Without the Spirit, you and I cannot control it. Not as we should. There are some things, yes, that we can just say no to and get away with it. But there are things that Satan will tempt us with that just by the flesh, we won't stand. We give in. It's happened all down through the ages. That's why God sent his Son to become that living sacrifice for you and I. But you see, it also was something that was twofold. It took his death to be a sacrifice for you and I. But it took his resurrection to bring you and I the power and the things we needed from Almighty God and his Spirit in order to make it through the world in this life according to God's will, his way, and what he has planned for each one of us, so that we can make heaven our home. Think about it. Now, he tells us here in 5, he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when you come to the point that you can stand or want to stand and proclaim that you are a born-again child of the living God, that is telling the world, I have put the things of the world out of my life. My life is centered on the things of Almighty God. And that's what I want in my life, not the things that you've got to offer out here, world. But I want those things of Almighty God that will give me life through eternity with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, he also goes on to tell us just how important things are and what happens at times. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We've talked about that before, and we'll talk about it a lot more times, God willing. You know, that carnal mind is just automatically an enemy against God. It's not subject to the law of God. And as verse 7 tells us, indeed, nor neither indeed can it be. But we do know that when our mind is filled with the Spirit of Almighty God, regardless what comes between you and God. We know that God is stronger. He can get rid of it. And we can still walk with that life and peace filling us, regardless of what comes against us. Because we know we have a power within us that is stronger than anything this world can throw at you and I. But we have to stay in and with the will of Almighty God and in His Word, walking in it and keeping it in us and sharing it with others out here. We don't take the Word of God and go and hide in a closet and say, well, I'm safe in here because I'm in here with myself. No, you're not. Because, you see, that's not what God called you for. We are all called. We need to find out what our calling is and then begin to walk in our calling, because with the call of Almighty God, He has gave you the gifts to go with that calling. So you really have no excuse of not walking according to the call of Almighty God. He's gave us everything we need. You have to go to His Word to get it, but it's there. 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You want to continue walking this flesh? You can't please God if you do. His Word, that's not mine, that's His. It goes on here in 9, he says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. We have to complete that plan of salvation in sincerity, honestly, and truly. And once we have done that, then we know that we belong to Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that made the way for it. His death and His resurrection is what reconciles you and I back to the Father of Heaven. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, when that Spirit of Christ comes in you, when you repented and you asked Christ, you invited Him in, to come in, to live within you, to work within you, the body itself became dead because of the sin. This body one day will go back to dirt. But the Spirit will go on to wherever it is going to spend eternity. Whether that will be with Jesus or whether it will be with Satan and his demons in hell, and eventually wind up in that lake of fire. And you see that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of life, moves us into righteousness. 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken your mortal body. In other words, that body is being resurrected. And all believers will then be like as Christ and receive new, even physical forms. Because everything will change. Those around you will see that change that God is working in you. And they will be those that will question you. What has come over you? What has caused this change in your life? Why is it no longer you no longer want to get out here and do the things you always enjoyed doing? You always enjoyed your Saturday nights out drinking, running around. Now you don't want to do none of that. What's caused that change? The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God causes it. 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're not to live after this flesh and follow it around with its wants of this world out here. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You're going to live with Christ when you keep that Spirit within. And you walk in it, and it walks in you. And that you are walking in and with the Word of Almighty God, doing those things that you are supposed to be doing instead of things this old flesh wants to do. Now, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you have that Holy Spirit of God living in you, you are his son, just as Jesus was. Think about that. And you have become an heir and joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're not to get out here and walk in fear. And we see most today, most everyone we look at today are walking in fear of what is happening and going on in this day and time and in our land. But when you are walking with the Spirit of God, you don't walk with that fear. Because we know that our Heavenly Father loves us. We know that he is there to care for us. He's there to make a way, and he will bring us through to victory of whatever comes against us. It may not be what we ask for or like we ask for it. Because you see, he knows what is the best for us. He'll bring us through it. He'll bring us through it His way, because His way is the best way. And His children, at 16, told us, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And His children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, when I was telling you that you was an heir and a joint heir with Christ, you see, it wasn't my words, that was His. It's right there in that 17th verse. And we know that when we are the children of God, that we are also also glorified together. And he goes on to tell us here in 18, he says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The suffering of this present time, you take that glory which he's talking about, shall be revealed. You know, that brings the blessed hope of the Christian, and it causes us to look ahead with anticipation to a great moment. Think about it. You see, every time we go through the Word of God, we can learn something new, something just a little different to help us to grow stronger in faith and with our outlook of things of this world. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, the creature eagerly looks forward to the revelation as being sons of God. You know, when it comes to the millennial, that 1,000-year reign of Christ here upon this earth, that is a time that you and I can look forward to, because as a child of God, when he comes back to set up that reign here on this earth, his kingdom, he's going to be bringing us back with him. Unless everything happens to where he comes back before you leave this life, then you'll just be changed at a moment of the twinkling of an eye. Now, for the creature was made subject to vanity and will not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. We walk in emptiness and frailty. We're weak, empty, until we come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. And we can walk in vanity, but when we do, that's what we walk in. And you know, we have no business walking that way. We don't have to, because it's strictly unnecessary. Because God's not for that. God is for you having a better life. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Almighty God. You see, at that time there will be no more death. That's why we can look forward to that millennial time when all of redeemed mankind is glorified. And we then will never again have to face God's curse. Think about it. What a time that will be. What a glorious time. Do you really want to trade that for a few moments of some pleasure this world has got out here for this flesh? I don't. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Yes, Adam's fall caused that. His fall is what brought sin upon all of us. Now, mankind walked from the time of Adam's sin, not really knowing what sin was or what he was doing that was sin. That's why God come then and gave Moses the law. The law brought sin to mankind. But they still, because you see, they didn't have that Holy Spirit like you and I have got it. It didn't come to live within them. They were still kind of being ruled by flesh, trying to control flesh themselves and doing it by the law. But the law was weak and couldn't do it. God knew that, but you see, his plan was working and he knew to send his son to give you and I more life. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. I'm going to drop down here now because to verse 28, because I want to go over something with you, and then we're going to close out for the evening. Well, we're going to start here with 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, those of us that are actually walking with the Holy Spirit, we know about those groanings, don't we? It's called a heavenly language. The Spirit uses it when he intercedes for us. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's making intercessions for you and I according to God's will. That means according to his word. That's the intercession that's going forward to the children of God today. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Here's some things that we all need to know and understand. We are all called by God, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. They use this word predestinate to mean that God had picked out a few that he called to be brothers to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, what that is telling us, he knew when you and I or anyone else would accept the Lord Jesus Christ, when we would become a born-again child of God, he knew that exactly. Back before we were ever born on this earth, because we came from him, he knew when we would do it. And that's what he's talking about there. No, it wasn't because we were privileged. It was because he knew when we would choose to walk with him. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. All men are called. All of mankind are called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Think about that. You see, God is letting you and I know what is in store for us when we make heaven our home. He already knows us. He knows when we're going to get there. We don't, but he does. Wake up. Wake up, church. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your life right. Get yourself to the point to where God fills you with his Holy Spirit and become that born-again child of the living God so that you can make heaven your home. He ended up that with this verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You hear what he's saying about us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we know we've got two making intercession for us. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ making intercession for us, the Son of God, and we got the Holy Spirit of Almighty God making intercession for you and I. We don't have to walk in fear upon this earth. And I'm going to leave you with that, give you something to think about. And God willing, we can all be together again come Tuesday evening. Remember, this coming Tuesday, we will be starting a service on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So join with us, won't you? Get into the Word of God. Start sharing these things of God with those that you love and with friends and those that you will come in contact with, whether at work, at home, or wherever it may be. Help to build the Lord God's church. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your word with each other and be a support to each other, Father. We know that we all need to be praying for one another. We all need each other's prayer to help us to grow stronger and to help keep the evil away from us. Now, Father, for the saints wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray, Father, for them to have peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, it's walking further and further away from the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. But we are praying, Father, those that belong to you, we are praying, Father, for you to help us to remove from office those that are against the church, those that are against the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are against your people, and help us to replace them, Father, with ones that will stand with us for the church, stand with us for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us with your people to grow and to continue. And Father, to help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And for our prayer list, Father, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch them, bring about the infilling, indwelling, Father, of that Spirit. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breed and his wife Tina, Brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls there at the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Pastor Eugene Beige of the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, my prayer for them is that they are walking closer each and every day and that they are filled with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness, teaching your word, Father, as it is written, and not according to man's way. Pastor Will, the young man that has been ordained into the ministry, my prayer for him is, Father, that the Holy Spirit has been his teacher, and he is now the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what the need is there. And that little full gospel church of God there at Ekron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you keep a man there in that church, Father, that will keep the Holy Spirit there in that church and at work. Now, Father, for my friends there in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, the Johnson family, the Lee family, the Branson family, my wife's family, my family, and for each and every family that's listening to this tonight, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to work with our families and lead those that are walking in darkness, lead them away from that darkness and bring them to the light, and that light being Jesus. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Jim Taylor, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft, for Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch, as well as my wife. Need that healing touch that is given to mankind by the stripes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he bore to bring us that healing power. Now, Lord, be with this church. Help us to grow, Father, in number and in the Spirit. Make it the place, Father, place of worship that you want it to be. And Father, use me. Use me, Father, in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up before men, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, it's in his sweet, precious name, that name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And God bless. And remember, God willing, come Tuesday night, 6 p.m., we can all be together again, back into the Word of God. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night, all.